From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from radio's golden age. I'm Jake Longwell. Getting the hour underway with an episode of The Candid Microphone. Yes, this was the forerunner to Candid Camera on television, both series created by Alan Funt. This broadcast, program number 10 in the series, first aired on ABC on August 31st of 1947. The opening skit, Getting Change from a Cab Driver.
The American Broadcasting Company presents The Candid Microphone, the program that brings you the secretly recorded conversations and reactions of all kinds of people in all kinds of situations. No one ever knows when he's talking into the candid microphone.
Candidly speaking, do you like people?
Well, you'll hear them speaking candidly on Candid Microphone, a program that brings you short scenes from real life gathered each week in homes, offices, stores, in the street, wherever you yourself might meet the people whose voices you'll hear today. When the candid reporter meets them, he keeps a record of it, a record secretly made when their off-guard talk is picked up by a hidden microphone. Now, here are this week's intimate close-ups of people who might be your neighbors as they unknowingly spoke into the candid microphone. Here is some advice. If you ever take a short trip because the doctor said the change would do you good, don't make it in a taxi cab. Trying to get change from a cab driver is not what the doctor ordered. One of the first things a hacky learns before he gets his license to hunt pedestrians is that the leopard will change his spots before any self-respecting hacky will change a five. A cab driver worthy of the name would sooner break your arm than a $10 bill. When this cab driver stopped to pick up our friend with his hidden mic and a couple of valises that contained the concealed recording equipment, the cabbie didn't know it, but he was going for a little ride. Remember, this entire scene was recorded inside a taxicab in the middle of a busy city.
Driver, we just want to go to 780 Park Avenue. That's just a little way up here, but we can't take all this heavy equipment. 780 Park Avenue.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. That's fine. I'm sorry to make you go this short distance, but we have to because we got to get this equipment up there. That's swell. Right over here, this house right here. Thank you, that's swell. Fine, fine. Thank you, driver. Gee, we really appreciate that. It just couldn't lug that stuff. Here you are, pal. Thank you.
Is that all the guys, a $20 bill?
That's all I have.
Well, where'd you expect me to get change for $20 bill this time in the morning?
Well, I can't help it, driver. That's all I have.
Yeah, but there is a store in the neighborhood here.
Well, what can I do about
it? What can you do about it? What am I supposed to do about it?
Well, I don't know, driver. You're supposed to make change.
Yeah, this is a bank. The bank's open until 9 o'clock, mister. No, this is only 8:30 in the morning. This is a taxi cab.
Well, what can I do?
Well, there's not a store in the neighborhood. You want to wait, mister? I'll take you for a ride. We'll go for change.
No, I don't want to go for a ride.
Well,
this is where I want to go, driver.
Well, then I can't help it.
Why not?
You'll have to pay me. I'm sorry. We'll have to go to the store and get change.
Well, I don't want to go for any joyrides now, driver.
I know, but you should have used some common sense when you got into a taxi cab, mister, with a $20 bill.
Well, I just told you that this is all the far we were going.
Yeah, but you didn't tell me you had a $20 bill, did you?
What's the sense of getting mad about a thing like that? Haven't you been caught with a $20 bill in your life, driver?
Sure, mister, but at certain times of the day. After all, this is our busiest time of the morning. We can't be running around looking for $20 worth of change.
But every time I have a bill, a cab driver, I have to have an argument with the guy. Why?
Because that just goes to show you the business don't call for $20 bills.
Well, but are you liable to get caught that way,
aren't
you?
Well, you're right for $10
for
change.
All right, so why do you give me a big argument about it?
I'm not giving you a big argument. I'm just trying to explain to you. You fellas have all got the same habit. $20 bills. Where are we supposed to get change for $20 bills?
Well, how much money did you start out with today?
$3 and change.
Well, so the first guy that got in, if he had a $5 bill, you'd be in trouble,
well,
wouldn't
you? Well, a $5 bill wouldn't be so bad already. I can scrape together a little change of a $5, but I can't scrape a $20 together, mister.
Did you give me a big argument? I didn't mean anything.
I know you didn't mean anything by it. You mean well. You all mean well, but don't you use common sense with your change?
Why don't you bring a bunch of money with you when you start? It's not going to be... You're not going to spend it.
Sure, mister. This ain't the house of Rothschild.
Well, I can't help it.
Well, you sit right back tight, mister. We'll go for some change.
Well, I don't want to go driving around.
You want me to take your stuff right back where you started from?
No, I don't want that
well,
either.
Well, then sit right back tight. What am I supposed to do here? All these customers waiting for taxi cabs, you hand me a $20 bill? What is that, my time, nothing?
Well, all right, how much is the fare?
1/4.
Well, all right, here's a quarter. That's all I have.
That's all you have? Well, that's all right. Let me have it. It's better than wasting my time for an hour for another dime.
No, I wanted to give you a tip.
I know them tips, mister. Another big dime ain't gonna make me happy. Let's have it.
Breaking even in an argument with a cab driver is what is known as an unconditional victory. Fun is fun, but to the man who must mix his business with your pleasure, it's a serious thing. Take the caterer, for example. This unsung life of your party is always ready at the beckon of a lady finger. Whether you're throwing an intimate party for 4 or a shindig for the 400, the caterer can provide you with Mickey Finn's or Crepe Suzette. Here is a portrait of a man who took his work so seriously, he never for a moment thought that the man with the hidden mic was kidding when he asked him to put on the dog for some cats.
We represent a firm which makes cat food. Food for cats. And in the near future, they're going to have a beauty contest to select the most beautiful cats in the whole country. And we'll have perhaps 5 winners of that contest from sections all over the country. And we would like to have a banquet for those 5 cats.
Well, I think that in this case, the best thing for us to do is to make this banquet a very elegant one, very artistic, most unusual, very colorful, and it's... Well, I'm sure that the cat would even enjoy it much better, since it's something they never saw, or something that...
Surely, that's right. Well, these cats, it'll be a treat for them, and, of course, we want it to be very unusual. Now... What are some of the things that we might do?
Well, I was about to suggest some seafood dish, for instance.
Uh-huh. But can it be done very elegantly?
Well, being elegant, I think on the line of seafood, I mean, I know the cats would eat this too. I mean, we can have sort of a shellfish like lobster or a crab meat.
Uh-huh.
And have one for each cat and a very beautiful plate.
One crab shell stuffed for each cat.
Yes, for each cat, with all the trim, with the good sauce that goes with the fish right into a lemon basket.
Right, that sounds very charming, very charming. It will look beautiful, too, as well as taste.
Yes, very good and very beautiful and very colorful.
Uh-huh. You see, these cats will come from very wealthy homes, and of course it's got to be really elegant.
Couldn't we decorate the table, for instance, one of these vegetable centerpieces that I arrange for banquets and for...
A vegetable centerpiece?
Yes, I mean, that would be most unusual. We can have any type of flowers of ribbon effect. Now, that would be a very beautiful thing.
A ribbon effect?
A ribbon effect with cats. The ribbons go very good with cats, as a rule.
Uh-huh.
Or sort of a long thread or a rope.
You don't think the cats will start to pull at it or anything?
Well, if they did, it would be a lot of fun.
Do you suppose the cats would like some soup?
Yes.
I suppose.
We can have a little of a sort of a biscuit. So it's a very light, a little soup.
Light soup?
With cream and...
They like that.
They like that very much. I mean, we can give them a little of that before.
A light bisque.
Perhaps a
creamed lobster or something like that?
Yes, or oyster or any seafood. They would enjoy that very much.
Can we think of a dessert, perhaps? I mean, something to top off the dinner for really something luscious.
Anything on the ice cream type would suit them very well, and most cats like ice cream.
Right. Is there some nice place cards we could arrange for them? You know, so the cats would be sitting in couples, you know, a man and a woman and then a lady cat and so on.
I think so.
How many people do you think we should have to serve this banquet?
Well,
very elegantly.
We should have 2.
2 waiters?
Yes.
Uh-huh. All right. They don't need any after-dinner mints or anything like that.
No. I don't think that would be necessary.
You know, we may hold this party after all.
We wouldn't want to break that caterer's heart. It's a pleasure not to buy an alarm clock. The alarm clock is one of the most dangerous weapons in the world. Never point one at anybody, because it's liable to go off and shatter all his dreams. And probably the reason we have different time zones is because of what might happen if all the alarm clocks in the world went off at the same time each morning. That's why it's a pleasure not to buy an alarm clock. Now, that careful shopper, the man with the hidden mic, presents as a public service this recorded lesson on what to look for when not buying a clock. And don't think you'll sleep through this lesson either.
Very unpleasant sound, don't you think? I can't seem to find the kind of alarm that I really like. I'm going to have to listen to this thing every morning.
Well, sir, you've looked at every clock in the place and you've played with them all.
Well, could I hear some of these again, please?
Well, they're going to sound the same this time as they did before.
I know, but I've got to pick out a tone that's right for me.
They don't make these in tones, sir. They only...
Well, I mean, a sound that's right. Well,
try this one.
Is it broken? Something wrong with the thing?
No, that should alarm, sir.
Is that the way it works normally?
No, that works much better than this one. This is the one you played with.
Is that it?
That's the sound of the alarm, sir.
Now, tell me the truth. Do you like that sound?
Well, I think it's a very good sound to get up in the morning by.
Well, I don't. I'm sorry. I don't think that's a good sound. Could I hear this one again, please?
You'll listen to this one twice now, sir.
I know, but I've got to find the right tone.
As I told you before, they don't come in tones.
Well, you keep on correcting me about that tone. Whatever... Now, you see, that's what I mean. That's the note that it hits.
Well, that's an alarm clock, sir. It sounds like a clock.
I want something that'll be reasonably loud and yet not too raucous. Now, look at that thing. Isn't that terrible?
I wouldn't say so. I say that's a very nice clock.
Well, I don't know.
Now, you've looked at this clock three times. You want to see
it? No, I only heard it once, and I'd like to hear the sound of it. Please, I'd like to compare the... Now, look at that thing. No, you can turn that off right now.
Well, maybe you like this one, sir. Very good of a clock. There's a nice alarm on it.
Well, that's the most important thing.
Very nice alarm on this clock.
What's that?
This one has a very nice alarm, sir.
What is that, sir?
Yeah, this one has a very nice alarm.
I wouldn't call that nice.
Well, that's one of the finest clocks we have, sir.
Maybe this electric clock has a tone that... We listened to this thing, but it sounded so soft before, did it?
No, it's going to sound the same way this time.
You're having some trouble with it, huh?
Well, these are a little difficult to work. You see, they work different from the old alarm clock.
But if it's going to do that for me, I'll have to wake up an hour earlier to set it. Do you mind if I see how long these things ring when they're alarmed?
I have it fixed now, sir.
Have you got that one fixed now?
There's the alarm.
Oh, you can... Now you got it fixed, you can shut it off. That's that doorbell one. Do you mind if I just try these alarm clocks and see how long we can keep them running? I want to see how long they run when they're...
I don't mind you playing with these clocks, sir, but after all, this is a place of business.
I just want to test and see how long it takes for these things to run out, you see.
But then you'll annoy the other customers if you leave them all on, you know? I'll have to shut this off, sir. I'm sorry.
What, is it wrong?
Yes, sir. I'll have to shut these clocks off. I can't have them all ringing at once in the store.
I want to test them, though. I want to see which one runs the longest.
Well, sir, you've tested them all now. I told you every clock I have in the place.
But what I want to see is how long will he...
You can't turn them on like that, sir. I'd love to shut these off, sir. I'm very sorry.
No, I'll leave this one on for a second, Mark.
You're making too much store noise, sir. We'll have to close them all down.
Why? I've got to hear the tone, sir.
Tried every clock in the place.
Well, I guess your clocks aren't very good, so I'll look someplace else.
That's the best thing for you to do, sir.
Thank you.
If you happen to tune in within the last few minutes and you are wondering about what's going on, we'd like to tell you that this is a program about everyday people. People like you or your neighbors are the performers you hear on Candid Microphone. We want to catch people in the act of being themselves. We never really try to pry into people's private lives or to record anything that is really none of our business. But because our business is capturing the honest reactions of the people we talk to, we make sure the Candid Microphone can hear without being seen. They say that if you wait long enough on some corners in New York, you'll meet everyone you ever knew. You're liable to meet some people you don't even want to know. Like the panhandlers, the men who play a sad tune on your purse strings, hoping for a handout. We heard from a friend about one enterprising panhandler who seemed to be thriving on his subtle touches. His friend suggested a certain corner where we might be able to record a man who had built a tale of woe into a nice business. We haunted the area a day and a half, trying our best to look like a soft touch, until finally, a sad-eyed, well-dressed man approached. Now, this record is in two parts. First comes the touch. Listen.
I beg your pardon.
Yes?
Do you mind if I ask you a question?
I'll go right ahead.
You may think I'm a rather beastly person, but you wouldn't happen to have some kind of a job for me. I'm just out of the army. I need a job very desperately.
Well, I don't have any job.
Well, would you like to help me constructively?
Well, I'd do anything I can, but I don't have a job or anything like that.
Well, you see, I hate to ask you, but I was evicted my room 4 days ago. Would you take me to the YMCA and get me a room for a week?
Do what?
Take me to the YMCA and get me a room for a week.
I know, but I can't help you that much. That's probably quite expensive, isn't it?
$8.75 a week.
Well, I'd like to help you, but not $8.75.
Well, you let me have part of it, so I'll have to ask the next person for some money.
Will this help you any?
No, thanks. I'm sorry.
Well, won't this help you any?
I might just go face the end now. Go out and get some these for a quarter, and then be just a bit off than I am now.
Will a couple of dollars help you in any way?
Well, it would. It'd help me a lot, if you don't mind.
Well, why is it that a quarter is no good at all and $2?
Well, a quarter, I can get something to eat, that's about all, but with $2, I can get a room for a couple nights at the YMCA.
Having been touched $2 worth by this sad story, the Candid reporter started getting his money's worth. At first, the man was reluctant to reveal the inside story of his unusual profession. A trade secret is one secret that a man wants to keep, even when he doesn't seem to have any visible trade. But money talks, and a few extra dollars can make others talk, too. Listen now, as this same confidence man gets confidential.
You know, I really think you've got a very unusual approach to people, if you don't mind my saying. Do people frequently give you $2 or a quarter?
Well, I've been given 10, I've been given 100, I've been given 25, I've been given 50.
Do you have to watch for certain kind of people?
Well, I usually pick on elderly men.
Elderly men?
Yes, because they're more settled in their ways and they're more...
How about women?
No, I don't fool around with women. They're not so hot.
Is there any special way that if you dress in a special way, will it help you in any way?
No. Well, you see, I try to look as good as possible because Park Avenue is about the best. That's my office, you might say, you know?
Park Avenue, huh?
Yeah.
Can you work a certain corner for a long time, or how do you do that?
Well, I move around a lot, see.
Move around, huh?
Yeah, I pick out the Union League Club and the University Club and the Harvard Club and Princeton Club and stuff like that.
That sounds terrific. Have you worked throughout the country on this?
Yeah.
How's New York can stack up with the other parts of the country?
Best in the country.
Best in the country?
Yeah.
What'd you say was the worst town for a touch?
Down around Texas.
They won't give you a thing, huh? And that's the panhandle. About how much can you average?
Oh, about $10 a day.
You can. Well, how long you work a week?
Well, about 5 or 6 days a week.
You take off a day?
Oh, I only work about 3-4 hours a day,
In other words, you average about $50-$60 a week, and you work about 3-4 hours a day. So, all right, you take a regular vacation or anything like that?
No. I mean, I'd be going to Saratoga, because that's where all the money is, see?
Beggars, according to this one, can be choosers. The man with the hidden mic has more nerve than a sore tooth. It took a little of both to get him to visit his dentist. But when the dentist was through, the candid reporter got permission to hang a small microphone among the other gadgets on the dental chair. The candid microphone picked up this bicuspid duet of a dentist's exploration in the molar regions. Now, sit still. This will only take 1 minute and 6 seconds, and it won't hurt you listeners a bit.
Open wide, please. That's fine. Now, let's see. Oh, not
listen,
now.
Just a minute now.
I don't like anything like that.
Just a minute, please.
I cannot.
Come on.
Oh, I...
Am I hurting you now?
I'm sorry, Miss Fowler.
Stand
that.
One moment. Open wide, please.
Oh,
all right. Head back. Open wide.
I'm sorry.
Just a moment. Just a moment.
I'm sorry. That hurts. That whole gum is sore.
A little wider, please. Open wider, please.
I'm going to hurt, but I have pain.
What? Yes, I know.
I want to hurt longer.
I know, but there's a little cavity that's sort of deep right underneath an old silver filling. All right, here we go. What's the matter? Is that hurt you now? I'm sorry I'm hurting you.
Oh, that's enough.
I'm sorry. Why is it enough? Now, just a moment. I'm just getting started here now. Just one moment. I'm sorry. Is that too bad?
I'm sorry.
All right, here we go now. Now, no noise. Miss Edel, may I have a Novocaine here, please?
He thinks I'm opening this mouth again. He's crazy.
So remember, kiddies, see your teeth twice a day. Brush your dentist twice a year. You may have got the idea by this time that the man with the hidden mic is a pretty outspoken fellow. Well, sometimes he is. He certainly was outspoken the other day by a man twice his age and half his size. This little man came into the office like a lion and went out like a lamb. Before this uninvited, uninhibited visitor was through, the man with the hidden mic had uncovered an unusual talent, and he could do nothing to cover it up again. Here, on a secret recording, is what one man had to say for himself. And for a lot of other things, too.
Did you want to see me?
Yes, sir. I just happened to be in the building working, and the people in the building heard my sounds, and they said I'm pretty good at it, and they told me to go up to this radio production. So I'll show you some of my sounds.
Wait a second here now. What? We don't need anybody like that. What is that supposed to be? It's
supposed to be a train.
I know, but...
Well, that's a train at Grand Central there.
What are you, a painter?
I'm a painter, but when I think people don't feel so good and I make them feel happy and they don't have to have a doctor, and my voice makes them well.
I'm sorry, Mr.
You want to hear a chicken?
We don't use any
chicken. You want to
chicken.
Hear a chicken lay an egg?
We don't use... I know, but we don't
You want to hear a mule?
We don't... Are you painting right here in this building?
Right in the same building where you're...
Well, how'd you hear about me?
The people in the building.
Oh, well, you may be all right, but did they tell you we don't use any people like that?
Well,
or anything
I'll give
like
you a
that.
Pro.
I don't need any crows. But look, mister, we don't use any actors at all. No professional people. We just use plain, ordinary people on the street. No animals, no anything like that.
Well, I could do an air raid if you want it.
An air raid? What good would we have for an air raid?
Well,
what do we need it? What do we need an air raid? Careful now. Don't strain yourself.
I'm out of practice.
We never use an air raid.
Oh.
I know, but what do we need an air raid for?
Well, just to scare the public while they're working if they want to get home early.
Well, we don't use that on the radio, so...
I could do some snoring until, like, a man says, sleeping.
Well, we don't need those things. I know. Well, anybody can do that, mister. Well, you don't understand me. We don't use any sounds or any acts or any animals or any noises of any kind like that.
Well, I like it myself. I like to hear my own sound. When a man is happy and has a smile and do that sound that makes others happy, I feel happy myself.
What do what sound?
What I like a train.
Makes you happy?
Yeah, and make them laugh. When they laugh, I laugh.
Well, that's a very good philosophy, and I'm sure you got a lot of talent, but I'd like
it
to be able
talent,
to...
It ain't the talent. It's my future. See, I'm my age is over 64, and I feel like 21 every time I do that sound and make others happy.
You do?
Yeah. I think I can do it to a tiger.
A what?
Tiger.
A tiger? Well, how am I going to use... It sounds like the snoring again. What is that, sleeping?
That's sleeping? A tiger when you get mad.
I thought it was sleeping.
No, a tiger, a very, very, very bad tiger. I listened to Central Park and I heard him say the same thing.
I can't do a thing for you.
Well,
See, we
I'm not sorry, but, I'd feel just as happy if they don't use me, if they do use me, still I use my sounds.
But you paint for a living,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I paint for a living as a pleasure, too, as my exercise. They do a girl, say, age of 12 years old.
What?
A girl of 12 years old talking to her mother. She wants to buy something and I can...
Look, mister, why don't you just leave your name outside and we'll call you. Please.
Listen.
We'll call you if we need you.
My mother
will
not
call you
buy
if we have any need at all. If we have anything for you.
I only have 4 cents and I need a penny more.
I'll call you if there's
any.
And so, for tonight, we put the cover back on our candid microphone. Any resemblance to actual people is purely intentional. That's why no one ever knows when he's talking into the candid microphone.
The Candid Microphone is tailored for your enjoyment, and we want to have your candid comments about it. Is there someone you'd like to hear us catch in the act? Tell it to the man with the hidden mic. As all of you who've written us know, we will acknowledge all of your cards and letters, and don't pull your punches when you write us. Be candid. That's the way we like it. Write to Candid Microphone, in care of the American Broadcasting Company, New York 20, New York. We hope you'll be listening again next Sunday when we'll be heard over most of these ABC stations.
The Candid Microphone from August 31st, 1947 on ABC. It's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. If you want to get in touch, our email address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. And our blog and website is at qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. If you want the playlist or streaming audio for this episode, look for Upstate Radio Theater, program number 1909. Moving on to some Western adventure, as we have an episode of Have Gun, Will Travel. In this case, the TV series predated the radio series, but the television series about the gentleman gunfighter Paladin was so popular that CBS decided to create a radio series. Starring John Daner as Paladin, Western audiences were already familiar with Mr. Daner's voice, as he appeared quite frequently throughout the 1950s on Gunsmoke, and also appeared for a short time in 1958 as the English newspaper correspondent J.B. Kendall in the short-lived series Frontier Gentlemen. This broadcast of Have Gun, Will Travel, program number 18 in the series, originally aired on CBS March 22nd, 1959. The Five Books of Owen Deaver.
In a few minutes, mister, this town will be owned by a band of renegades. And you'll be dead.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
I thought you'd never get down, hey boy.
Oh, it was a big job, Mr. Paladin.
Let's hurry. The stage is ready to leave. The driver promised to wait for me.
Why you want so many things in one suitcase? Make my job easier if you take two suitcases.
It's easier for me when I only have one bag to carry on a long trip. Oh, give me the bag. I'll take it from here. There's no need for you to get wet. Goodbye, hey boy.
Goodbye, Mr. Paladin. Oh, Mr. Paladin.
Huh? I'm terrible. Sorry, here, let me help you up. Please, forgive me, please. Are you hurt?
My dress, it's soaking.
Oh, this is terrible.
You've ruined my dress.
Please, I'll buy you another dress. I'm catching the stage and they're ready to pull out. I must go, but I'll be back in about 10 days.
Well,
I'll take care of it then. I'll buy you another dress. Oh, here's my card. I'm registered at the hotel.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Wire Paladin, San Francisco.
Dandruff bothers most men, most women too, so listen. Today you can get rid of embarrassing dandruff in just 3 minutes. Yes, with Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. Unsightly dandruff's gone in 3 minutes. It's the quickest, easiest of all leading shampoos. That's not all. Using Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep embarrassing dandruff away. Simply apply in the unique Fitch manner. Before you wet hair, rub in 1 minute. This way, Fitch shampoo penetrates right down to the scalp. Next, add water. Lather 1 minute to wash every trace of dandruff out of your hair. Then rinse 1 minute. All that loosened dandruff goes down the drain. In 3 minutes with Fitch, one rubbing, one lathering, one rinsing, dandruff's gone. And never forget, gentle Fitch can also leave your hair up to 35% brighter. To get rid of dandruff problems forever, brighten hair too, use Fitch regularly. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today, only 59 cents.
I had looked forward to this trip to North Fork, not because of the job there, which turned out to be routine, uneventful, but because it would give me the opportunity to visit some old friends of mine in Three Winds on my way home, Sheriff Barry Deaver and his wife. The 20-mile ride from North Fork through sand dunes, buttes, and low hills led me to an unusually quiet Three Winds. The one saloon in town was quiet, too.
What'll it be, mister?
Whiskey.
If you're going to be in town for a while, you better check that gun in with the sheriff.
Against the law to wear a gun in Three Winds?
It sure is. Sheriff Deaver's the only one who can carry a firearm in this town.
Sheriff Deaver has changed his laws since I was here last. Something new?
6 months new.
Well, I'm on my way over to Deaver's office. I'll turn it in then if need be. He's a friend of mine.
Yeah? You from Philadelphia?
No. California.
Oh, didn't think you looked like an Easterner. I thought the only friends Owen Deaver had left lived in Philadelphia.
Owen? No, I'm a friend of Owen's father.
Oh, well, didn't you hear? Old Barry's dead.
You dead? Barry Deaver?
Yeah, last fall. Died of consumption. Owen came back from law school in Philadelphia and took over his shop. Uh-oh. There's going to be trouble for sure.
Why, it's just a couple of raunchy cowboys.
Yeah, but Deaver will arrest them. He don't allow no shooting in town.
Well, look here, French. One customer in this saloon on a Saturday afternoon.
Hey, what time do the girls come in, Whiskey Man?
No girls allowed in this saloon.
No girls?
City law.
Didn't know we was in a city. Only seen one saloon. Takes two to make a city, don't it?
Don't matter, French. We'll go up to North Fork. Plenty of girls up there.
Now, we got to have a drink first. Bring us two bottles. One for me and one for Mason here.
I can't sell it by the bottle. Only four drinks to a customer. It's the law.
What kind of law are you talking about?
My law. The law of three winds.
Well, I didn't know this town was big enough to have a sheriff.
The law says four drinks to a person is the quota for a day. The same law says all guns must be turned into my office when you arrive in Three Winds.
Now, what is
that? I'll give them back to you when you leave.
Don't you think you ought to let law-abiding people keep their guns to defend themselves with?
I defend law-abiding people in this town. They don't have to carry guns.
As long as we get them back, I'll go along with your ordinance, Sheriff.
Lay it on the table. All right, you men, I'm waiting.
Mason?
Do what he says.
Yeah. There ain't no use arguing with a load of turkey shot.
They'll be at my office when you leave town.
Watch it, Sheriff.
My hand. You shot my hand.
Whose side are you on, anyway?
You can lock him up, Sheriff. He just tried to throw a knife in your back.
You ruined my hand.
Thanks for saving my life. But I'll have to take you in, too.
For what?
For concealing that derringer. You should have turned it in with the other gun. Hand it over.
Look, if I hadn't kept the derringer, you would have been killed.
The law still stands. You'll spend a week in jail.
What about me? What about my hand?
You'll live, but you'll be in lockup till the judge comes through here. Then you'll be tried for attempted murder.
You taking me to jail, too?
No. You'll get out of town. If I ever see you back here again, I'll put you in jail for a year for trespassing. This town's out of limits to you because you've been associated with a murderer.
Well, now, ain't you tall? That shotgun sure makes you something I never heard of before.
Get out of here.
I'm going. But I'll see you again, mister.
What kind of rules are you laying down in this town, Deaver?
Rules that respectful citizens expect from their sheriff.
Well, don't you know if you disarm everyone who comes to Three Winds, you're waving a red flag in front of every gunfighter who thinks he's bigger than the law?
As long as I'm sheriff, there's no one bigger than the law in Three Winds. Let's go.
When friends drop in, let your hospitality show you're sociable in the modern manner. Pepsi, you know, is the favorite of the smart and young at heart.
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable. Pepsi.
Have you tried a Pepsi lately?
All right, get in there.
Deaver, you better get some bandages for this man's hand.
I need a doctor, that's what I need. Or does the law allow a prisoner to have a doctor?
We'll get you fixed up. Ma!
Got a couple of new prisoners. One of them needs a doctor.
You're a fool. A two-headed fool. Shooting that knife out of my hand. You got your brains in your feet. I'll never forget what you did, mister. We could have both been free if you hadn't butted in.
You talk too much, Enfield.
How do you know my name?
Didn't take much to figure you're one of the Enfield brothers and that the kid named French is a member of your gang.
Well, we must be getting famous when tin horns like you know who we are. Well, I'll tell you something. It's going to be mighty miserable for you when my brothers come back to get me out of here. You wish you'd never heard of the Enfield gang.
Oh, and I don't know why you have to arrest every stranger who walks into this town. If I ain't nursing, I'm cooking, and if I... Paladin!
Hello, Ma.
Paladin, bless the stars in heaven. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too,
well,
Ma.
Well, how long has it been? A year? A year and a
half? Oh, no, almost two now.
Oh, and you never met Paladin, did you?
No.
You was away in school, and son. He helped your pa round up the orneriest, wildest bunch of gunfighters you ever seen. It was the Barton brothers, wasn't it, Paladin?
That's right.
Well, what brings you back to Three Wit? Paladin, what are you doing behind those bars? Owen, how come Paladin's in jail?
Well, Ma,
Did you arrest him, Owen Deaver?
Yes, I did.
Well, you just get him out of there right this minute, do you hear?
I can't do that. He violated the law.
Violated the law? Now, just who do you think you are arresting a man like this? Now, turn him loose. Turn Paladin loose, or so help me, I'll take a paddle and beat you to a blister.
That's all right, Ma.
Well, it ain't all right, neither.
Now that Owen knows that I'm a friend of the family, he and I can talk this out.
We can talk as much as you like, Paladin, but you're going to stay in jail for a week. It's the law.
For a week? For what?
For concealing a firearm and not turning it in.
There you go again, with another one of your stupid ordinances. Now, what's going to come of all your foolishness, Owen?
The law is the...
The law is the law. Listen to him, Paladin. We let him go to Philadelphia to study, and what does he bring back? 5 books, that's all. Those 5 books over there on his desk. The Municipal Code of Philadelphia. And he's been beating the town over the head with them ever since he come back. The ranch hands won't come into town anymore because he won't even let them spit in the street. Why, it's come to the place where nobody's even got any respect for the name of Deaver.
Ma, I don't hold any offense against him. If this is the law of Three Winds, I want to abide by it. We'll talk it out later. Now, you give me those bandages, and I'll take care of this man's hand for you.
Yeah, all right. I guess there ain't no use arguing with you. Or with Owen either, for that matter.
He's a man of principle and strong will. I'd say he takes after his ma.
Ah, go on with your foolishness. I'm going to start your supper.
There goes a fine woman, Owen. You ought to be proud of her.
I am. She doesn't realize the ways of the old frontier towns are gone.
Are they?
You're going to stand there and talk all day. My hand ain't getting any better.
Owen, have you heard of the Enfield gang?
Enfields? Yeah, I got a circular on them just the other day. It's in my desk somewhere.
Well, this man is Mason Enfield. His partner in the saloon was another member of the gang, the one they call French.
Are you sure?
He's lying, Sheriff. Never even heard of the Enfield gang.
I'll see if I can find the circular.
Now, here's the bandage. Hold out your hand now. Let's see what we can do.
Thanks, Rabbit Head. It's a good thing my left hand's in good shape.
Why,
all
you...
All right, come on, hold it. What's the matter, Paladin? Why did you hit him?
Because he tried to hit me. Guess he didn't want me to tell you who he was.
Ah, you are right. His picture's here on the circular with the others. And here's the one that was in the saloon with him, French.
Well, French will bring the others back here to get Mason out. 3 more of them, Owen. And they'll shoot this town up and drag the jail down the middle of the street. You're going to need help. Let me out of here.
No.
Owen, I helped your father once. You and I could nail the Enfield gang.
I won't let you out, Paladin. I'll round up a few deputies. We'll be ready for the Enfields when they get here.
I hope you are, Owen. Because there's a lot that could go wrong.
There goes a treasure car. There goes another. And another. And one of them may be your car. Yes, folks, you may have a Fram treasure hunt filter in your car worth $1,000 and not even know it. A Fram filter worth 1,000 silver dollars. A filter change is important to today's cars, so important that Fram Corporation, in conjunction with its silver anniversary, is paying $60,000 in cash to get you to check your filters now. Last year,
10,000 secretly numbered Fram filters were distributed all over the United States and installed in cars during regular servicing. These filters are worth from $1 to $1,000. You may have one in your car and not even know it. A Fram filter worth 1,000 silver dollars. Check your oil filter and air filter now. If there's a specially numbered Fram filter in your car, you will win up to 1,000 silver dollars and your dealer will win the same amount. Get in on Fram's big silver treasure hunt. Check your car filters now.
Owen Deaver, stubborn when it came to upholding his new laws, was inherently a kind-hearted man. He was considerate enough to move me to another cell, which allowed me a decent night's sleep away from Mason Enfield. Next morning, Ma Deaver let me out to have breakfast with her in the kitchen. Owen was out trying to round up some deputies.
Paladin, what am I going to do about Owen and his crazy books?
He's still young. He'll learn in time, if he doesn't get killed first.
You think they'll come, the Enfields?
They'll come.
Well, Owen knows how to fight. Mr. Deaver taught him how to shoot a gun, use his fists, everything. He can hold his own when it comes to fighting. But he never learned the good judgment his father had.
He's a rare youngster who learns wisdom from his parents. It usually comes self-taught through experience.
Did you have any luck, Owen?
No, Violet. What are you doing out of your cell, Paladin?
I let him out.
He's under arrest. Don't you ever let him out again.
What'll you do? Arrest me?
Get back inside, Paladin.
All right, Owen.
Instead of putting him back in jail, why don't you deputize him? He's a friend.
He's also a prisoner. Get in there.
Owen, when your father ran this office, he wasn't afraid to take advice. Not even from a woman.
I'm not, Pa. I don't try to be.
You couldn't be. He was respected and well-liked.
Well, why shouldn't he be well-liked? He never stepped on anyone's toes.
He didn't have to. And he didn't need these 5 books to tell him what was right or wrong.
She's right, Owen.
Now, don't you start in on me, Paladin. What's the matter with everyone? Why can't they understand what I'm trying to do here?
What made you choose the Philadelphia ordinances for Three Winds?
Because they're good ones. I like living in a city guided by laws like these.
But this isn't Philadelphia. There's no mayor here, no town council. All you have is a sheriff and a judge who comes through once a month. It's the sheriff who must decide what's right and what's best for his town.
Yeah, and if the sheriff gets up on the wrong side of the bed one morning, everything's a crime that day. But if he wakes up feeling good, nothing's illegal. That's why we've got to have a legal written code to live by.
I'm not arguing against that principle, but don't you think that you should write your own code? One that fits your town?
Owen, they're out there.
Who's out there?
The Enfields, out front. I saw them through the curtains. 2 men are behind a wagon across the street. And the other one's at the side of the house.
They're waiting for you to come out the front door.
I'll go out the back door and around the side.
You won't have a chance against 3 killers. Let me go with you.
No.
Ma, get my gun and go with them. Go ahead. You know how to pull a trigger.
You want to get her killed?
Well, I'm not going to stand by and let them come in here and shoot us after you get killed.
There's nothing you can do.
I can draw their fire, give you a better chance.
But they'd kill you, don't you understand?
Who's going with you, Owen, your mother or me?
All right. All right, Paladin, you win.
Get my gun, Ma.
Sure.
Owen, there's a flat roof over the jail. Is there any way we can get up on top without making too much noise?
Yeah, through the kitchen. There's a ladder just outside the back door. Yeah.
Here's your gun.
Thanks, Ma. Let's go.
Get out! There's another one out there.
Yeah, either that or the man on the side of the building came around back.
What'll we do?
Go up to the front window and open fire on the 2 up on the wagon. I'll try to get this man back here.
How?
I'll stay down on the floor and open the door to draw his fire. Now go on, hurry.
All right.
Did you kill him?
Yeah. Yeah, he made a good target standing up at the rain barrel. If you'd have crouched behind it.
You think these 2 by the wagon are the only ones left?
Uh-huh. Now, you take anything on the right.
Uh-huh.
I'll take the left. As soon as one of them raises up to shoot... You got him. You know how to use a rifle.
I had a good teacher. Oh, there goes the other.
He's down. Come on.
Both of them are dead. You're pretty good with a six gun.
I had some experience with the same teacher you did.
My pa was a man you could learn a lot from.
Yeah. I remember something else I learned from him the last time I was here. It was something he said.
What was that?
That one man doesn't have the right to say what's good for all men. The lawman doesn't try to dictate the will of the people. He reflects it.
Paladin, you know anyone might be interested in buying some books?
Oh, I wouldn't sell those books, Owen. Just put them away for a while. Who knows, someday, Three Winds might have a mayor, town council, or even sidewalks.
Yeah, maybe so.
Come on, we got to dig some graves.
Oh, Mr. Paladin.
Hey, boy.
Oh, I knew you'd come in on the stage tonight. I make bet on it.
Well, don't ever make bets on when I'll be returning to the Carlton. Let's get my luggage up to the room, will you please?
Oh, yes, sir. I know when you come back this time. It's in the air.
What's in the air?
Rain. It rains when you leave, and when it rains again, I know you come back. Oh, this time.
What about the young lady? The one I accidentally knocked down when I left?
Oh, you make a very big splash.
Oh?
She's the one I make bet with on your returning.
Oh, then she's still here. Did she order a new dress?
No, not yet. She waited for you. She said she'll ask you to go shopping with her.
If I remember, she was the most attractive young lady.
Most attractive.
Why don't you make arrangements for this evening, hey boy?
To go shopping?
Of course. But be sure we start in the lounge at 7 with cocktails.
Yes, sir, Mr. Paladin.
Here comes Elmer Blurt, world's lowest pressure salesman.
Nobody home. Hope.
Rudolph the bodybuilder, at your service.
I only came to tell you about the new 1959 Rambler.
Okay, lie down on the table and let's talk.
Well, I don't know.
Lie down!
But the 59 Rambler...
I know. First in sales gains, first in economy, first with personalized comfort.
Couldn't you just count on your fingers?
Imagine, Rambler seats are individually adjustable. Perfect fit, perfect comfort for tall people or short. No more kinks in those leg muscles there.
Oh, woe is me.
No stiff neck either.
Ouch.
Because Rambler has adjustable headrests. Yes, sir, only Rambler has the best of both. Big car room, small car economy. Well, you've sold me. Sign me up.
Okay, but you'll have to carry me out to my Rambler so I can get my order pad.
Rambler outsells all six of the best-selling foreign makes combined. 59 Rambler sales are nearly 2.5 times greater than a year ago. See the success car at Rambler dealers. Have gun, will travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars John Daner as Paladin with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Sam Rolfe and adapted for radio by Frank Michael. Featured in the cast were Paul Dubov, Helen Klebe, Ken Lynch, Jess Kirkpatrick, and Sam Edwards. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
Have Gun, Will Travel, The Five Books of Owen Deaver, from March 22nd, 1959, on CBS. We have a few minutes to kill before we wrap up the hour, so let's hear an episode of Incredible But True, a syndicated series about the unusual and the supernatural from the early 1950s. This is program 43 in the series, The Whereabouts of Mr. Wadham.
The supernatural is not selective. A scientist working in his laboratory, a housewife bent over her ironing board, all these and many others have, at one time or another, been the central figures in mysterious events. And bewildering things have even been known to happen to a young man hurrying to keep a date with his best girl. Leonard Wadham, a resident of Walworth, South London, was a respectable young man of regular habits. He was, like most young men of his age, in love. And on the evening of September 27th, he had called the object of his affection on the telephone to confirm an appointment.
9 o'clock. 9 o'clock in front of St. Benedict's Cathedral. Don't be late. How could I be late when I'm meeting you, Ellen? I'll be there at 9 o'clock sharp.
It was only a 15-minute walk from his home to St. Benedict's Cathedral. But just to be on the safe side, he started out at 8:30. When he was still several blocks away from the meeting place, he chanced to glance up, and he noticed the clock in the cathedral spire.
Not quite 8:45. I've only got a couple of more minutes to go. She's the one who's going to keep me waiting. I know. What's happening? What's happening to me anyhow?
On this same evening, near the village of Dunstable, not far from London, Patrolman Gibbons of the Dunstable Police Force was covering his beat.
Hello. What's this? Same bloke standing right in the middle of the highway. Looks like he don't even know where he is. Intoxicated, I'll bet, is he? Hey, you there! What are you doing in the middle of a thoroughfare?
Well, I don't exactly know. That is, I...
You want to get hit or something?
No, but officer, would you mind telling me where I am?
I can tell you where you ought to be, home in bed. In your condition.
My condition? You don't think I'm drunk, officer? I haven't had a drop.
Then what is the matter with you?
I don't know. Something happened to me. Something strange and mysterious like. The landscape, it blotted out. The street and the cathedral and everything.
What street? What cathedral?
St. Benedict's on South Waterbury.
What? That's in London, ain't it?
Aye. That's where I was.
Well, you're not there now. You're in Dunstable.
Dunstable? Why, that's 30 miles from London. But how did I get here? I don't remember coming here at all.
Oh, it sounds like amnesia to me.
Aye, that must be it. But how am I going to explain it to Ellen? I was to meet her at 9 o'clock sharp, and here I am 30 miles away, and it must be midnight.
And what makes you think it's midnight?
Well, it was just 17 minutes to nine when I looked at the clock inside Benedict.
Wait a minute now. Take a look at this watch.
Blimey. It's only 10 minutes to nine.
It is not recorded whether Leonard Wadham was ever able to persuade Ellen of the truth of his story. If she was highly skeptical, it is not to be wondered at. For few women would be likely to believe that a man could be transported, without his knowledge, 30 miles in less than 7 minutes. And yet, if we accept the evidence that was conclusive enough to convince both the Dunstable police and the great London newspaper, those are the facts. Facts. Incredible, but true.
The Whereabouts of Mr. Wadham, an episode of the syndicated series Incredible But True from the early 1950s. And with that, we come to the end of this hour of Old Time Radio. I'm Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. Please join me again when you can for another hour of sounds from radio's golden age. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.